whatever that item may be that you add to your home or office, be it a plant or an object, make sure you have respect and personal value for that object. It might be the item itself that you have a connection to or the story behind it. I think by using this approach, rather than filling a space with lots of new trendy things you might not like in a couple of years, brings that sense of calm and purpose into the space.
Do you love your business? You should, right? Well, sometimes we just don't. It's my hope that this, the My Daily Business Coach podcast, helps you regain a little of that lost love by providing tips and tactics, tools, insights, inspiration, all the good stuff to help you actually enjoy running your business. In addition to actionable tips and tactics that you'll be able to execute immediately, you'll also hear from creative small business owners around the world who've been able to sidestep the hustle and build a business that merges their passion with their purpose and provides a profit. I'm your host, Fiona Kalacki, founder of My Daily Business Coach. Let's get going. Hello and welcome to episode 118 of the My Daily Business Coach podcast. You can probably hear the smile in my voice because I'm excited about sharing this interview episode with you. I think there's so many tips and insights and realness and yeah, just think it's such a great one. And I loved conducting the interview and I know that it'll help so many of you listening. I am recording this podcast as always in my back garden office in North Warrandyte. And again, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land in which I record this podcast and I do the bulk of my work. The Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation are the traditional custodians on the land on which I work and play and have my fun. And I want to pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging and acknowledge that sovereignty has never been ceded. And we all have so much work to do, but we can do it and we can do it together so that we can all move forward together. So today's episode, like I mentioned, is an interview episode and it is with the amazing Ryan Kluwer of Plant Charmer. Now, transparency, Ryan has been a client of mine and I've absolutely loved working with him and seeing how his business has developed. But aside from, you know, being a client, Ryan is just an all-round super nice guy. He absolutely loves what he does. He is passionate about plants. He really takes it all to a next level. So it's not just about how cool they look and how they're styled. Obviously, styling is a part of it, but he's really in touch with what plants can do for us, both in a physical sense, but also in a mental health sense. And he used to always talk about this in our client sessions as well, just the kind of meditative element that plants can bring into our lives, particularly if you are living in the city or you live somewhere that is removed in some way from a lot of nature. And I know that he's also someone who doesn't make it in any way uncomfortable or unapproachable to talk about plants, particularly if you're someone like me who is not a green thumb, although I have been able to keep one plant alive recently and it is thriving, I must say. But in general, I'm almost someone who's scared of plants because even though I live in North Warrandyte, I'm surrounded by bush and it's beautiful. I just have always thought of myself as someone who kills plants. And my husband is the opposite. So my husband absolutely loves plants and he's always buying new plants and indoor plants. And he really takes it personally if they don't thrive. He's like, what am I doing wrong? Almost like he's a parent to these plants. And I love that Plant Charmer works with people like myself, but also like my husband, and also works with brands and architects and big companies to look at how plants can really help their lives, their business, their community as a whole. So Plant Charmer essentially is an interior plant design studio. So from residential to commercial, like permanent to temporary installations, They offer a range of services to meet the needs of whatever your project is. So it could be that you've just, you know, had a renovation and actually you'd love to add some plants to your house. It could be that you're an interior stylist and you actually want to start collaborating with a company like Plant Charmer to do more of the interior plant styling and education and kind of consulting with you to show you what's possible in a particular space. It could be that you work in a big company and you'd actually love to have a really beautiful kind of plant installation when people come in. So whether it's a hairdresser or a corporate, or it could be a big homeware store or maybe a restaurant. These are all of the kinds of things that Ryan and his team work on. And they also do maintenance. And as well as that, they've recently started an online store and a physical store of just the most beautiful plant kind of stands, candles, kind of vessels and pots and other things that go with that life of plants. And everything that he puts onto that store is curated and really considered. And everything is about things looking beautiful, but also having a consideration for the meaning behind them. And in this chat, we talk about what plants mean to Ryan, why he's so obsessed with them, because he actually didn't start out in this field. He started as a graphic designer, which is also probably why his actual branding of Plant Charmer is so beautiful as well. So in addition to his business journey, we also talk about his own kind of practices for keeping sane and keeping everything going despite the challenges that we are all going through with the pandemic. It was such a delight to talk to Ryan about these things. And sometimes I think once I have a client on the podcast, I'm like, I should just ask all clients these questions when they come in, because I find it fascinating to learn more about people, more about their business journey and why they do things the way that they do. So if you're not already following, make sure you go over and follow Plant Charmer on Instagram. It's Plant Charmer. You can also follow the Plant Charmer store, which is plantcharmer.store, S-T-O-R-E. And if you want to find out more after you listen today, definitely check out plantcharmer.com.au. And of course, we'll link to that in the show notes. But without further ado, here is my interview with Ryan Clure of Plant Charmer. Welcome to the podcast, Ryan. How are you feeling about life right now? I mean, we're recording this in our fourth Melbourne lockdown.
Well, thanks for having me, Fiona. It kind of feels like deja vu once again. The lockdown seems to be panning out the same way it did for the previous. Me and my partner, Ellen, have once again decided that we needed to escape the city. We planned a little getaway up north just to kind of, you know, reset the mind and relax the creative muscles a bit. And then just as we're about to leave, we entered another lockdown. It's kind of gotten to a point now where it's kind of mildly comical. It's happened every time we planned a little getaway just to kind of relieve some of that business stress and day-to-day stress. A lockdown's happened. But we both understand that with the current situations we're in, it's far from terrible considering, you know, how bad it is around the world and whatnot.
Yeah, I know, because I think, if I'm correct, you were going to Sydney to see her parents or your parents or...
Yeah, over Christmas.
Yeah, and then you got locked down from them, like from that state, not from us for once.
Yeah, so the funny thing was we actually had some accommodation booked in Palm Beach, which was where the first cases were actually brought to life in that Sydney lockdown. So, like, it was just the state that locked down. It was literally the exact location where we were planning to change. But yeah, we got up to Sydney, and then that's when the news came out. So we just had to turn around and drive straight back.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry about that. And yeah, I feel you. And I know, like, you know, both of us are in a, you know, good situation, and definitely everyone in Australia, as hard as lockdown is, we're not, you know, anywhere like India or in other places, but it still sucks, you know. Exactly. Suffering is suffering. So yeah, I'm really sorry to hear about that, and I hope you get to go on your trip not too far.
We were also planning on going to Dark Mofo, so we had all that planned, but I think with these latest cases, I think we're going to have to add that to the cancellation list as well.
Oh, I know. And I don't want to be like negative Nancy to the rest of the country, but I do feel like
people outside of Victoria cannot understand it. Like, I think it's, you know, they've had 6 days of lockdown on average and we've had like 100 and something.
Yeah, it's so different.
Yeah, it's just, let's hope they lift soon. So yeah. People would have heard me talk about Plant Charmer and Ryan in the intro and how we kind of cross paths, but how do you describe Plant Charmer? Because I know people out there who might follow you on Instagram might think one thing and, you know, other people might think another thing, but how do you describe the business? And can you also talk us through why you started Plant Charmer?
Yeah, sure. Right now, I would best describe Plant Charmer as being an interior plant design studio, and now recently with the retail store being opened up in the start of January and now going live now online, that's kind of the ethos or like the encompassment of the business.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But really, I consider Plant Charmer to be an evolving project that isn't tied down to a clear destination. The more I learn and discover about the world of plants and styling, the more paths I seem to discover to follow down. And I'm really opening to following those paths. At this moment in time, like, I view Plant Charmer as a means to bring more joy and happiness into the lives of people through a medium of plants and objects, and to create an aesthetically pleasing environment through the use of those mediums is a byproduct of creating this wonder for the people. Having a client come through a space once I've completed the project and to see how and hear their amazement is what I really aim to achieve. I believe it's all of us to see the beauty in nature. It's in all of us, I reckon. I think there's like this inherent value of stepping outside into the world, the natural world, and just like letting it absorb us and being like putting all when we see like a fantastic landscape. So I really want to condense that down as best as I can and introduce that to people in their homes or in their businesses and, yeah, create that feeling of awe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's incredible. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's called like What Happened When the World Changed, and it was actually talking about COVID and how humans stopped, you know, polluting and traveling and tourism and everything kind of dried up. But actually what happened to the planet was that nature was allowed to like breathe and all these incredible things happened to animals and plant life. But I also think to your point that like during COVID, no matter where you are in the world, nature has been such a balm. You know, people are really seeking it out to get some stress relief.
Definitely. Well, I think, you know, especially for us, talking for myself here in Victoria, being like living in a city and having these lockdown restrictions and having these radiuses that we can't extend out of, it's so hard to find that aloneness in nature or that time in nature. We have parks and we have, you know, areas where we can catch glimpses of that, but we're often surrounded by so many people that we can't just sit down and find that inner peace or that inner quiet that we can when we're outside in nature.
I completely agree. And I am so, so fortunate to live in North Warrandyte where I live, because it's just surrounded by nature. And even our neighbours, they just moved in at the end of 2019 and I was like, good timing.
Yeah.
And they moved from the city to out here. But yeah, and then I guess like you've described what you do and I love that and I've seen your work and it's beautiful. Why did you start Plant Charmer?
I think it was almost a reaction to the job that I was in. I mean, it wasn't not a creative job. I was an in-house graphic designer, but I felt there was lots of restrictions within that role. I couldn't express myself freely. And I think Plant Charmer was just, you know, a result of me wanting to rebel against that 9-to-5 job and to do something that I could express myself and something that I could share with others. And it just happened to be with plants because that's what I knew.
Oh, I love that. And also it's so obvious then why like your graphics and your visuals look so good.
Because that's you. Yes, it is something that's been definitely beneficial.
Yes, yeah, you can take that skill set and bring it in. And so because we are talking about COVID, and because you're in the plant business, and I'm guessing a lot of your work is, well, I know from some of, you know, your installations and you're going into places and maintenance and styling and that sort of stuff. And even, you know, having the physical space now, what happened in 2020? Like how has COVID, and even again, here we are, another lockdown, how has it impacted your business and your life?
Personally, it's been quite tough. but I believe my resilience got me through it. I think that was a major contributing factor to kind of getting through it and pushing through it. And that is a result from the amount of care that I put, you know, towards my self-care and building my mental strength. I practice meditation. I like to get out into nature as much as I can. I exercise most days, and I've actually started a new, I wouldn't call it a technique, but a practice of having cold showers in the morning that really helps me kind of like
wake up.
It perks you up. It gets your skin tingling. You feel warm. You feel alive. And it just really, I feel like it sets my day up.
You're brave, especially winter.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't get easier. It doesn't matter if it's hot or cold, I found. It's still just as shocking, but it definitely works. But, you know, regardless of all that, it's still been like, it's a huge roller coaster. Knowing that I can find these highs and I can ride these highs if I get like an amazing job prospect or I finish off a really amazing project, but I still know that just around the corner, there's going to be a low. So being able to have that mental resilience has really helped me in those times where, you know, we enter another lockdown or I can't engage with new clients or all those kind of things that come as part of an after effect of living through a COVID year or two. And then I guess business-wise, it's definitely pushed me to try different things. I had to reflect on a lot of important things during 2020 and how I can make that central to my business. I opened up a retail shop during a very volatile time for brick and mortar stores, but the opportunity came up and I wanted to give it a try. I feel that's very important to me, taking control and taking advantage of opportunities when they arise, because I'd rather do something and fail than not do it at all and then just live to potentially regret that. And it's also really important for me to have a respect for nature. And that means I have a considered approach to my design and investing in things that are long-lasting. So what I stock in the store, and this is a reflection of how I approach the retail store as well and how COVID has affected me in that way, is it would have made sense to go out and get something that would have sold really well and just punched it out and try to make as many sales as possible. But I still wanted to bring these values that I apply to Planet Charmer in terms of styling, into Plant Charmer in terms of what I stock or what I sell in the store. So all the items are incredibly well considered. They're ethical brands. They're items that you would buy and you'd keep in your house for a lifetime and you wouldn't throw them away. I think COVID's made me be a lot braver in terms of how to push the business, because I think it's obviously a very bad time in terms of, you know, what's happening, but in terms of having an opportunity there to be brave and to push yourself and to try things that you wouldn't dare do under normal circumstances has proved to be very rewarding in some regards.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, hats off to you for having that mindset. And also what you talked about with, you know, the mental strength and it being a practice. Like, we forget, you know, even just the way that mental health is still a stigma here, we forget it's just like physical health. You know, like if you had a knee issue, you would keep working at that every single day to get the knee right. But I love that you're saying you're working at, you know, mental health and mental strength and resilience every day. And I think lots of people listening will take that away. Like, okay, it can't be a self-care Sundays, like the one day a week that I do something. It's like, what can I do every day? I'm similar. I like lie in a hammock outside for 10 minutes. I have my cup of tea. I go for my morning walk. Like, it, those things have to be there for me to be able to face the rest of the day.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think you've nailed it. And I think it's reframing it as something, you know, there's the analogy going around that you can't go to the gym once and expect to come out looking like, you know, your hopes and dreams. You've got to incorporate that into your life, you know, across the entirety of your life. And I think if we can learn to accept the fact that mental health or taking care of your mental health isn't something that you can fix overnight, it's something that you've just got to incorporate and do every day or weekly or whatever it may be, for the entirety of your life, then you start accepting, you know, the benefits of it, which aren't these dramatic, drastic changes, but it's little things that build up as you get better, as you practice more.
Totally. And your part about nature, like, I think you know, obviously that's a huge part of what you work with and what you help people bring into their lives. But yeah, like if you think of like Buddhists, priests, like so many, you know, religions, imams, like they will go off to somewhere where there's quiet, there's peace, there's nature, and kind of get their spiritual selves and then be these super calm people as well. And yeah, what you said about pushing yourself, I think 2020 for lots of us has been really difficult, but also, like you said, doing things that you wouldn't have potentially maybe pushed yourself to do or had the opportunity to do if it was just like any other year. So thank you for saying that, because I think people don't stop to really consider like, what did I do? You know, I often say to people, what did the person 3 years ago, you 3 years ago, think of what you've done in 2020? And most of the time when you put it in that, people are like, oh my gosh, I actually did so much, versus, you know, when we often think of our future selves and like, I'm still not there yet.
It helps a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much. So why plants? And I know this must be a question you get all the time, but what was your like childhood like? Were you just, you know, are your parents super into plants or horticulture or even design? Because, you know, obviously you're a graphic designer as well. Like, how did you come into to doing what you're doing outside of just not liking your job and wanting a change?
Yeah, sure. Well, like the more I think about, you know, the term or the question, why plants? And as you said, I've discussed this numerous times with people when discussing plant charma. The more I discover and remember about, you know, my childhood and how nature and plants are always there for me. I remember, you know, spending days from sunup to sundown out in the fields behind my home or down by the river in the forests, just building stuff, building little huts, catching insects, catching bugs, catching fish, you know, climbing up trees, swimming all day. And then, you know, coming home covered in ticks and leeches, but, you know, being joyful about that and picking them off and, you know, actually enjoy like having the best time out there. And I think reflecting on those times has really made me think about why plants intrinsically mean so much to me today. I mean, like my first job, I remember I was about 4 or 5 years old, and it was this lovely lady that lived across the road from us, and she had this immaculate Victorian style garden. And she used to pay me in lollies to rummage through the leaves and catch all the snails. She called me Eagle Eye. And I've been told, I discovered that I had 20/20 vision. So maybe there was something in it from there. I could spot all those little baby snails that were eating away at all the little plants. So I think, upon reflection, especially in those earlier, younger days, I did find myself being in nature a lot. It was, as all kids were, I was into gaming and all those kinds of things in sporadic moments. But I feel like my real enjoyment came from being out in nature and, you know, using my hands and just experiencing it. And then as I moved on into my later teen years, my mother, she bought a little block of land up in Coffs Harbour, and she started a little nursery there. And that was my job for a while. So, you know, I'd made sure that everything was running smoothly there. I built the greenhouses, I tended to the plants, I propagated, made sure that, you know, everything was looking fresh and healthy for the markets. And again, at that moment in time, I think I lost a little bit of that appreciation for nature, and I saw it more as a job, less as, you know, something that I aspired to do one day. But now that I look back at it, that gave me the tools to decide that I wanted, you know, when I made that decision that I wanted to remove myself from that 9-to-5 job and into something a bit more creative. I think, you know, leaning onto plants was an easier option because I already had those practical skills in taking care of plants and growing plants and understanding what they needed to survive.
Oh, I love that. And what does your mum, is your mum still in the plant business?
Yeah, so she's downgraded. She just has a little store now that she runs on the weekends, and she just sells plants that she grows herself. It's just like a little hobby of hers now that she loves to do because it gets her involved in the community, and she gets to spend time with the plants. I think there's a common ground there where we both share that love and appreciation for nature.
Yeah, what does she think of plant charma?
She loves it. She can't get enough of it. She's constantly wanted me to, like, she's like, oh, can you please send up some plants and I'll sell them for you, or I'll do this. Or she constantly sends me photos of plants that she spots, and she asks me if I know what type they are and whatnot. So, you know, she's very enthusiastic about the brand.
Oh, I love that. And I love hearing that background as well, and kind of that substance to, you know, just the knowledge and everything that you have. And especially when you're learning those things when you're young, it's like you don't even realize you're learning. You're just taking in all this knowledge. You're like a sponge. You know, if I had to learn about plants now, and, you know, I've talked about it with you before that I'm not a green thumb at all. But if I had to learn about it, it's so much harder than, you know, when you get that information when you're a kid. And even just talking about your background and your youth, I had a very similar one. We were always in nature. And even just recently the other day, it was sunny. We get like heaps of skinks and lizards around here. Mm. And there was heaps. And my son said, oh, did you have these when you were growing up? And I was like, yes, we used to catch them and like put them in ice cream buckets. And he was like, can you catch one now? And I caught one. And I was like, ah, it just took me right back. And like, we kept it for 10 minutes because then my husband was like, you can't keep it. It's really awful. But yeah, it's such a lovely experience to have that.
It is. It's hard to put yourself back in those shoes or have that kind of perspective. I know it's definitely something that is very critical to forming, like, you know, ideas or passions later on in life.
Yes, yes, totally. And so a question that I wanted to ask you is, a good decade ago, what was it, 2009? So around 2010, I was working at Amazon and I was heading up the kitchen and home department in the UK. And we had, you know, millions of products, but there was, you know, a very small amount that were to do with plants, like plant holders, plant this, plant, you know, beautiful pot plants and stuff. It was very much the terracotta pots was what you could get. And so, you know, now we've seen in the plant world like this explosion of like plant styling, plant books, plant businesses. Why do you think that this has happened? Do you think it's just there's more access and we've got like YouTube and social media? Do you think it's that we're more reliant on technology and so we need a break from that? Like, what do you think it is that has created such a popular thing? And I'm sure even growing up with your mum, she might have been, you know, one of not that many plant businesses.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it's interesting to know that, you know, you were working in an industry back then where it dealt with those kind of like homewares-y kind of items. And there was that kind of like, you know, you have like firsthand references to how it was back then versus now. I mean, 10 years ago, I was just out of high school.
I'm so much older than you.
And I had no firsthand experience with interior plants, apart from, you know, seeing them in shopping centers and whatnot. But I think the knowledge that having plants around us, like in our homes, in our businesses, in places that we gather as humans, we've been known as being beneficial since some of the first major studies released in the 1970s. I think having plants in the home, it like went in and then it went out of fashion. I believe there was more of a trend around having interior plants back then. But having plants, though, in places where humans gather, such as shopping centers, hospitals, hotels, and corporate workplaces, that never went out of fashion. That stuck around. And I think that's because of that proven scientific evidence that suggests that plants do much more for our health and well-being than most of us actually think. When you think about it, those Australian nurseries that grow most of the plants that we now consider to be indoor plants have been operating and growing these same plants for decades, supplying them for larger corporate-facing businesses that lease out and maintain the plants in the spaces I listed before, like your hotels and your hospitals. But now, a lot of those nurseries have expanded their offerings to include a much vaster selection of plant species to maintain that competitive advantage. But that change has only been more recent. I'm not too sure, like, as I was saying before, how plants in the home became on trend again, but it has, and that train hasn't stopped. We've seen an explosion in new businesses entering the scene. That there's literally been a mass shortage of plants available, especially over COVID, due to that demand. The monetization of the indoor plant movement has seen the uprise of the thousands of YouTubers and influencers that you were talking about cashing in on that, on its popularity. I don't think you need to be passionate about plants to see that there is a huge market there. And all you have to be is clever enough or smart enough or creative enough to utilize plants, be it an influencer, be it, you know, setting up your own plant retail space or whatever it may be, to figure out that, you know, you can make money from it. And then, you know, even touching on the point where you suggested that, you know, there might be an opportunity there for people to use it as like a switch off mechanism to kind of disconnect from the tech world or whatever it may be and kind of like surround themselves with nature in their own homes. But I think it's almost fed itself back into the machine where to get more inspiration and to get more ideas about what plants you can get or how you can style with them has pushed people straight back into that tech world of being on Instagram or being on YouTube, like following these creators and getting into this little situation where what they may have seemingly used to escape from technology in the form of bringing in plants into their home has caused them to be sucked back into that hole.
Yeah, I've never thought about it like that, but you're so right. And even like I've seen lots of companies now do very realistic looking plants that are like almost more expensive sometimes than real plants. Like these huge kind of ones that you really can't tell if they're fake or not, but you'll see them in like, yeah, the back of people's Zoom calls and stuff. And it's almost like a setup, like it has to be, you know, perfectly styled and stuff.
Yeah, it's wild to think about because they're trying to replicate something that is inherently natural.
Yeah.
And they're using probably a plastic-based product that's made from oil. And it's kind of, and I mean, like, you're not saving the world by bringing a few plants into your home, but at least you're not, you know, doing the opposite. You're not adding, you know, additional pressure. Yeah. So what I find as well with a lot of the people I've come in contact with throughout my projects is, and through Plant Charmer, is that the everyday person can see through that. They're getting that savvy now with plants that if a business tries to, you know, fool them and go, oh, let's go down the artificial route because it's maybe easier to maintain. We don't have to worry about it dying because the prices in some cases are actually more expensive. Most cases are more expensive than to buy a real plant. But the consumer or the client or whoever it may be is coming in now and going, that's not real. And then they associate that essential cop-out to the business. So, you know, I think if you're going to do it, if you're going to use plants, you may as well go the whole hog.
Yes, yes, go the whole hog. Get Plant Charmer. But yeah, you're so right. In the 70s, my parents, we moved out here in the early 80s when I was really young, and my mum, just when you were talking about it, I was like, oh yeah, my mum would always have hanging baskets in the kitchen. She would always, but it was very like 80s, and she would have lots of plants like around the whole veranda at the front and like all around the, she was always buying plants. Yeah. But I feel like she had to have them in the kitchen. And even sometimes there'd be like little, you know, those tiny little flies. Like, oh mum, move these plants out. But she'd always be watering them in the sink and then taking them out to dry on the veranda. And yeah, but I wouldn't say I'd look back and be like, oh, it was super cool what she was doing. It was just, she had to have them in the house.
Interesting how like that works, and maybe it would have been a different story if, you know, social media was back then or the access to the internet. It's interesting.
Yeah, always. And so another one kind of question that I wanted to ask you, because I think it's really interesting, it comes up a lot when I work with couples, is that you live with your partner who is also a creative small business owner and an artist, Ellen Portis, is that how you say her surname?
Portis,
yeah. Do you help one another with like your relevant businesses, or do you kind of keep it separate? Like, and I guess second to that, if people are listening, what advice would you have for someone who, say, runs a business and their partner also runs a business, so two separate businesses? Like, how do you avoid things like competition or comparison? I actually literally just had a DM recently from someone who said, my husband started a business through COVID. He didn't have a business before. I have had a business for a while, and I feel like every time I do something new, he's not there yet, and he's kind of like defensive about it or kind of derogatory about it. And obviously I'm not a marriage counsellor, but yeah, just sort of wanted to ask you, like, how do you and Ellen work with that? Because you're both so good at what you do.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Definitely, well, from the outside, I've seen, you know, there's a lot of very powerful couples out there that either tend to work on their own projects or they work on a project together and they work really well and they're super compatible and they create something that's amazing. It's a bit different with me and Ellen though, because obviously we're both creative and we've both ventured down similar paths and we also face similar challenges. But generally we seem to stick it out alone most of the time and we just check in to see how each other are going. And I think that could be down to the fact that, you know, we both have very similar strengths and we both have very similar weaknesses as well. So the majority of that support for each other is moral support. We're not really coming together and expressing a need or a want for advice on something that we know that we're probably going to give the same answer if the other person came to us and proposed the same situation. So we just try our best to pep each other up and listen to our respective problems. I actually really enjoy this way of working together, as we still have to push ourselves individually and not rely on the other person too much. Every achievement is celebrated and there is a very little, if any, competitiveness or comparison that goes on between us. Like if it wasn't for Ellen, I probably would never reflect on any of my achievements. I tend to just brush them aside and just move on to the next task, where she generally grounds me. And like, I hope I do that for her as well. So we haven't gone down that path of, you know, becoming a power couple and, you know, working on the problem together and like really smashing it out and working on it. We kind of just go in our own lanes. And then when we need to, we kind of like meet up in the middle, have a conversation, and then we diverge again and like just go down that path separately.
I love that. There's a poem by Carl Gibran. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but basically it's a lot of people use it at weddings, but it basically talks about how like you're a house, but you're both different columns in the house and you can still be separate people, but together, you know, create this life together, but be strong on your own as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really nice what you've just said. It just reminded me of that poem. Well, another thing that people might have seen you and Ellen on the Design Files, because you have had both your business and studio profiled, as well as the two of you and your incredible warehouse. It's a warehouse kind of?
Yes, a warehouse.
Are you still there in Collingwood?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've just seen that on the pictures and obviously when we did Zoom calls and stuff, but I've also been able to visit your beautiful space, which is the Plant Charmer store, boutique, what do you call it? Store?
Just store.
And it's so beautiful. And I feel like you're honestly someone, I'm not saying this lightly, someone who can create beauty where others would see constraints, like whether with the space itself, whether financial constraints, whether, we've only got these materials that we can use. So as someone who seems to kind of create this magic with spaces, apart from plants and working with Plant Charmer, what else could people do or add to their space, be it a home or office, to feel more tranquil and calm? And I guess, especially right now when we're in lockdown, like are there kind of tips or things you'd suggest to people to kind of get that just beautiful, calm space that you seem to be able to create effortlessly?
Well, thanks for those calm words. I really appreciate that. It really means a lot. It's interesting. So I think like this is a very interesting and personal question, and it touches on something that myself and I believe a lot of people are feeling right now. I know COVID has really stolen the limelight the past year and a half, but the other relevant and real issue we're all facing is the climate crisis. This issue takes up a lot of space in my mind, and I think it rightfully should. I bring this up because whatever that item may be that you add to your home or office, be it a plant or an object, make sure you have respect and personal value for that object. It might be the item itself that you have a connection to or the story behind it. I think by using this approach, rather than filling a space with lots of new trendy things you might not like in a couple of years, brings that sense of calm and purpose into the space. So like, for example, I did a recent installation for a Collingwood bathhouse called Sense of Self. And as you walk into the main room, the main foyer, you turn to your right and there's this beautiful staghorn that's mounted on the wall. That staghorn is over 40 years old. It came from this amazing, lovely old lady that she had it and she was selling it because she had to move out of her home because her partner had previously passed away and she couldn't stay in this house anymore. So it was getting demolished. So she had this beautiful plant that she'd nurtured for so long and it brought so much joy to her. And she just wanted to see it go somewhere where it was going to be loved. And when people see that plant in Sense of Self, they feel something. They see it. It's an amazing plant. But when they hear that story, it takes them somewhere else. And I think that's the same with adding something to your space. Like, sure, I could say you can get these really amazing hand-rolled incense that smell really nice and they make you feel calm. Or you could get these essential oils that you know, it's amazing. They're made over here. They've made all this ingredient. It's fantastic. But I think having something that you can bring into your home, it could be, you know, it could be a drawing that your son did at school, or it could be a handmade piece of ceramics. But if you feel that and you can connect to that and you can believe in the story behind that, I think that brings so much more tranquility or calmness or homeliness to a space than any other object really can.
Oh, you can't see me, but I was like, yes. Yeah, I completely agree. And it's really interesting. Both of my parents have passed away in the last few years, and I went down recently to my sister's farm just before lockdown, thankfully, and got all these old things from dad's, like, you know, stuff that had been left behind by mum and dad. And I was going through it and kind of figuring out what would go to the op shop and what would stay. And yeah, there's definitely some things that aren't necessarily, you know, trendy or cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, like I found like this printout of this Rudyard Kipling, whatever, one of their poems. And we used to have it in our kitchen. And I was like, oh, these are their poems. Like, I'm just going to get them framed. And, you know, like they're kind of like 1970s with all these kind of bad flower drawings on them. But I'm like, no, because they mean something. So yeah, I think that's really, really good advice. Thank you.
I think it's great. And I heard you say, you know, what would go to an op shop. And I don't think there's anything wrong with also letting go of things. Someone else is going to find that, and they're going to put their own meaning to it, and then they're going to continue that story for that object. You know, it could live a whole life with them, and then they could donate it, and then it could live a whole life with someone else. It's these stories that come with it. And even if we're not told those stories, we can create our own ones with those objects.
Yeah. Oh, so true. It's funny because I walked into this room and saw my parents' like sideboard, and they had all this beautiful dark wood, you know, huge furniture that they brought out from England. And I said to my sister, oh my God, I haven't seen it. And also I said, I've never seen it without any clutter on it, because mum and dad used to have a lot of crap. I said, oh God, I wish I could, you know, I wish I had space for it. And she was like, no, it's going to go to, she dealt with this antique dealer. She's like, he's going to come and people, it's exactly what you said. She's like, people are going to take it, and instead of it sitting in our garage, it's going to sit in someone's home or someone's business, and
exactly,
it's going to have a new life. Yeah. So true. Oh my gosh, I could talk about this forever. So in your business, because obviously this is a business podcast.
Yes.
What have you had to learn during your time in this business to like up level? And obviously I'm, you know, guessing quite a bit, even if you had this great experience with plants. And what would kind of be three things that might have been maybe the hardest that you've had to learn?
I've had to learn a lot and force myself to do tasks that I struggle with. I'm not a very structured person. I never used to use a calendar. I never had a diary before. I found it difficult to manage multiple things because of that. So I've had to learn to talk to and deal with suppliers. I've had to understand taxes. I've had to employ staff. Now I've got to run and manage a retail store. So basically everything that comes along with being a small business owner. I think reaching out and getting coached by yourself was the real kick in the butt that I needed to take the business to the next level. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
But I think as a whole, I've just had to learn to take on so many roles and do so many different things. I'm definitely starting to learn now, and I'm in a privileged position now that the business is at a point where I can actually start to delegate funds to areas where either my time is better spent doing something else, or I just don't have the ability to maximize that part of the business. So that's definitely helping, and that's definitely somewhere where the next 6 months, a year, I feel like that's going to be the major focus of the business, is how do I manage scale and how do I scale the business up through some of those challenges. But I feel like the hardest things to learn were definitely self-discipline. So I wouldn't say I've got like the world's best work ethic, but I've had to get better at it. That's been really hard. So that's one of them. Admin's always been difficult. I'd rather be doing something creative or spending time. I'd rather spend 20 hours on a project coming up with the best idea for it than 1 hour trying to sort out my admin side of the business. And then potentially just being alone sometimes in business. Like being a sole trader, doing it by yourself, it can get quite lonely. Sometimes you just want someone else to kind of come in and give you a hand or have someone to chat to. And I've got mentors, I've got Ellen, you know, I've got yourself. I can always call up and chat too, but, you know, sometimes I wish I just had like a business partner there to kind of really, you know, get on board with and Ho Bro the Boat.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I hear you on so many things. And I don't think any of those necessarily, they might get better and you learn to embrace them, but I don't think they necessarily disappear. You know, like we all have moments where it's like, oh, come on, this has to get done. I say it all the time. I'm constantly saying, Kalaki, come on, get this done. And, you know, and I work with people all the time and I know what to do. But, yeah, and the loneliness as well. I think that's a big point. Whenever I'm coaching couples or even like partners, even if they're not, you know, romantic partners, I'm always like, oh, it would be so good to have a partner. Like,
so good.
Yeah, and to have that. But then on the flip side, I also like control and like my stuff my way.
Yeah, exactly. Try to view it that way. You haven't got that other person there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for mentioning coaching. I really appreciate working with you as well. And on that, aside from, you know, our work together, have you had any mentors, or you mentioned Ellen before, or coaches, or even like mantras or quotes or books that have really helped you with this business?
Yeah, for sure. There have been a couple of significant people in my life that have given me the opportunity and responsibility to really push myself in work and in life. Some of them haven't directly impacted the business, but past experiences that I had with them have really formed who I am today. And I thank them for where I am now. I mean, like as an early 20-something-year-old trying to figure it all out, it's quite incredible and humbling reflecting back, knowing that someone took the time and effort to take you under their wing and guide you through. And, you know, that's definitely something that I want to put onto someone else and guide through someone else. And I've currently got an intern that I can really see a big future for them. And I really want to be able to give them all the resources that they can possibly have to grow into something that they want to achieve when they get a bit older. And it's not always doing certain tasks or getting them to be better at what they're doing in that current point, but it's giving them the responsibility to really push themselves. And I think even if they fail, they'll still learn a lot, because that's the experience that I went through. And then in more recent times, you know, the help and support that you gave me was very incredible. I know I've already mentioned you, but you know, just having someone like yourself to talk to and to discuss my thoughts around the business gave me an incredible insight as to what I can actually achieve. Having an opportunity to do that is priceless. That, you know, you can't put a monetary value to that. And then I turn to books and podcasts when I'm in a bit of a rut. I'm always reading plan and design books. I'm always, you know, got an eye out for a particular podcast that might, you know, spruik some interest. But generally when I'm in a good headspace, I'll tend to turn it down a little bit. But then I'll always find once I start, you know, to get in a bit of a rut, I'll kind of seek out a bit more motivational self-help kind of content just to kind of like, you know, pick me up. Because sometimes it only takes one episode or one phrase or even one sentence to kind of just like, you know, kick your butt back into gear.
Oh, yes. And yeah, thank you again. I loved working with you. Yeah, I agree that like there's so much that like, and I love that you mentioned your intern. I think sometimes we forget that we can also be the help for other people, like, and we can, you know, like just what you said, like pay it forward and take that good karma that was given to you to somebody else. Like you can give it to somebody else as well. And it doesn't even need to be big things. Like I remember years ago, I used to do the social pages for the Age newspaper and I have to go to these events and like I was quite nervous and I was like 24. And I remember I used to always just like, you know, shake hands with these, you know, celebrities or whatever. And I'd be like, oh, hi, I'm Fiona from The Age. And I remember one particular person who I won't say his name because people have a love-hate relationship with him, but every single Australian would know who he is. I shook his hand and I said, hi, I'm Fiona from The Age. And he said, Fiona, what's your last name? And I said, Kalaki. And he said, well, you are a respectful person and, you know, you need to have that respect in yourself. So when you introduce yourself, I want you to say, hi, I'm Fiona Kalaki. And you're going to remember this name. And I was like, oh. And I remember just being so taken aback. But yeah, it really gave me the confidence that if someone like him was giving me this bit of, you know, helpful advice, and then from then on, I always was like, oh, I'm Fiona Clacky. Like I'm a real person. I'm not, you know, oh, that's just Fiona. You don't even need to know her last name.
Yeah, that's a good bit of advice.
I like that. It was really good. So also on terms of like things that have helped you, what about technology? Obviously, you know, you work with plants and there's kind of off screen, but are there kind of tech tools that you just can't live without when it comes to running the business?
Yeah, like I use all the Adobe tools pretty much and I use them daily because that just helps in terms of like, you know, be able to create proposals for clients and make things look really nice and well presented. And then I also use the Google Suite. I think that's really the integration. That's great. And then I use Trello as well to just track a lot of my projects. There's definitely more. Like, I know there's like a never-ending list of different apps and tech tools that I can integrate into the business to help me scale. And I'm being forced into those essentially because I know they're beneficial. But the pain point is just like that first initial learning phase, just trying to download an app or a particular type of tool and understanding how to use it. And but then also, because there's so many out there in the market, understanding how relevant that one is to your business, and if there is one even slightly better, are you missing the boat if you commit to this one? So my uptake hasn't been as fast as it probably should, but that's based on either time constraints or just looking for that perfect one, you know?
Yes. And there's, you know, there's no should police, but yeah, I feel like that sometimes too. You just get sorted with one and then someone's like, oh, have you heard of this? Mm. Or, you know, I get sent an email like, hey, we're this new email provider that makes, you know, sorting your inbox even easier. And it's like, oh, maybe I should try that. So yeah, I think sometimes it pays to just sit back and be like, what do I actually need? And are these things helping me? Cool. I'll just stick with what I have right now.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise it just gets too complicated.
Yes. And so what's one thing that you would have done differently if you were just starting out now, or maybe if someone's listening, what kind of thing do you think you might have done differently?
This is a tricky one. I think, you know, going along the journey from where I began to where I am now didn't start 2 years ago when I started Planet Charma. It started when I was a child playing out in those fields. So I think every little thing and every little mistake and every little lesson I learned formed what it is Plant Charmer is now. If I was going to change one thing, it would potentially be being more proactive with those kind of tools, because I think you can be a hell of a lot more productive if you have the right apps in place from the beginning, and it can save you a lot of headaches down the line. But I think the journey is something that you can't replicate. So I wouldn't probably change too much.
Oh, good answer. And yeah, I agree. So much of what we learn through mistakes is like the best learning, the best education.
100%.
And so on the flip side, what are you most proud of from your journey in business so far?
I think the thing that I'm most proud of is that I always push myself to do a better job. Every project that I've completed so far, I've been incredibly proud of. But there's always that little voice in my head telling me that I can keep pushing. I don't know if I'll ever reach a point that I don't feel that way, but I'm incredibly proud that I have that desire to always push myself.
Good one as well. And I feel like, yeah, even that's a good thing to point out, because sometimes we can be like, are we too hard on ourselves? Or, you know, and it's like, at least you have that. You want to do better. Or even just like, what, it's almost like a curiosity. Like, what could I do if I could do this, this, and this?
Exactly. I think you always got to, like, every project that I do, there's always a sense of uncomfortability and nervousness that I get in my stomach. And I've heard it before, and I've heard other people say it before, but a lot of like performers will say it before they get on stage. But I feel when I don't feel that way, I'll think I need to change things quickly because I'm getting too comfortable and I'm just replicating work. So I'm always going to want to have that little weird nauseous gut feeling when I do a project, because I know I'm really pushing that boundary.
Yes, yes. And I know I didn't ask you this, but can I just throw another question out there at you?
Yeah, please.
Have you got any like dream clients? Like when you were talking about that, I was thinking about how Beyonce always says that she still feels nervous, and she's Beyonce. Mm. It's like you could put out absolute rubbish and people would love you. So and then I was thinking about Beyonce and these things. Do you have dream clients? And even if someone's listening to this, like, do you have, oh, I'd love to do an installation for this type of business or a giant hotel group or whatever? Sorry to put you on the spot.
It's fine. I think there's like lots of amazing brands out there that I would love to work with. You know, I'd love to work with Aesop or the Labo, one of those kind of industries or one of those kind of businesses that, you know, have such a strong focus on the product that they use and how it connects with nature and how they kind of shift so much attention onto what they're actually producing. And it's not about mass production of an item. It's about the item itself and how high level of quality that product is and how it performs its tasks. But I think my dream job, and it's something that's been like tugging at me for a while now, is it wouldn't matter who the client was. It doesn't matter what their status is. I think I would love to do something that was more regenerative. There was the Future Food Project. I think that was the name of it, in Fed Square, where there was a well-renowned chef, and I can't remember who else they were with, but they did a installation and they lived out of a home in Fed Square where it was an integrated food system. And I really like that idea of how nature and food interact and how we can live within a space where it's all connected in one big symbiotic ecosystem. And I think I would love to go down that route and help design and style, or help, you know, play around with a project like that where it's not all about the aesthetics, but it's also about the practicality and functionality of a plant in a process as such as that.
Oh, amazing. And, you know, if those people are listening, get in touch with Ryan. And on that, yeah, where can people connect with you? And I guess what's next for you? What have you got on at the moment?
Yeah, so I've got a few really, really fun projects in the boil. I've got one in particular. There's a new creative hub called Stoker Studio, run by a very good friend of mine, Kate Bowman, down in the Mornay Peninsula. So I'm helping to design that and bring that to life. That'll be open in the next few months. So get around that. I've also opened up a new online retail store, which homes mostly Melbourne brands, which is intentional. And I wish to keep the offerings as local as possible. And I've also just launched a collaboration with my good friend Joey from Mock Turtle called Kalo, which I'm really excited about. For now, it's a range of hand-painted planters, and it's going to expand from that into more functional furniture. And you can check all that out on my Instagram, just at Plant Charmer, on my website, plantcharmer.com.au.
Oh, amazing. So many good things coming up. And is Instagram the best place if someone wanted to like send you a message or tell you what's most resonated from the podcast or get in touch about a project, or is it the website or both, one or the other?
Instagram's great. There's a form on the website to get in touch, but whatever's easier for you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I have loved working with you. I've loved watching your business. You know, you're so dedicated and committed to what you're doing and to the output and the result for your clients. So it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and to work with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're so welcome. Bye.
See ya.
Oh, what a lovely guy. How awesome is Ryan from Plant Charmer? I absolutely loved getting the opportunity to work with him, but also just having this opportunity to have a chat and really discover more about him. I loved hearing about his background, how he grew up, and how much of an influence that is on his life now as an adult. I also, yeah, just really took away so many kind of nuggets from everything he said for life and for business. Two things that really stood out to me were when he talked about building resilience and building mental strength and creating a practice or rituals around doing that and not leaving it to be something that you just do every so often or when you really feel like it or when you get a break, but to do things as small as, you know, and as big as, because I'm sure it's quite shocking. I have actually tried it a couple of times, but not as brave as he is, but, you know, having a cold shower and taking time out, go into nature, look after himself, you know, those things have to be done regularly to have any kind of great impact. Sure, we can go and we can do, you know, some nice afternoon every so often, light some candles, get a massage and feel good, but it's kind of temporary. Whereas what I loved that he was talking about was really making it a practice, making it just part and parcel of your everyday so that when things do strike, and he talked about having the highs and the lows, you're more equipped to deal with them because you've got this practice in place. So that really, really spoke to me. The other thing that I loved about, you know, everything that Ryan shared was the idea that everything that we collect in our home, in our office, everything that we sort of buy and purchase needs to have meaning behind it. It needs to have a story. It needs to resonate with you on some level. And he mentioned climate change, and I know that I work with, you know, various clients in this space, but also in kind of
I've mentioned her before, Anne-Marie Sargent, who does a lot in the kind of research into waste and landfill and the kind of effect and impact on our planet from the home, you know, industry. And I know that a lot of people listening to this are in that space. So I loved, you know, including Ryan, a lot of, you know, he does installations and big things for commercial clients, but he also works with residential clients. And, you know, I loved what he was talking about, that everything that he's creating is built to last and it's not kind of throwaway kind of homeware or home goods. So I loved that he put that out there because I think, you know, it just needs to be said sometimes that really look at what we're doing, because we are doing whatever we're doing now is going to have a lasting impression for our children and their children. So I really, really loved that approach. There's so many other nuggets of wisdom and business tips and even just the idea was when he was talking about, you know, having to have discipline and having to force yourself sometimes to do those admin tasks. I loved it because we all have that. We all have those things going on. So I loved chatting with Ryan. If you have found this episode useful, definitely, you know, don't be a stranger. Go on over to Instagram. You can find Ryan at Plant Charmer, one word, or you can check out his website and contact him there. plantcharmer.com.au. And of course, we'll link to that in the show notes. I'm sure Ryan would love to know what you most took away from today's episode. And of course, the show notes, including a full transcript and all the links to Ryan's stuff, will be available over at mydailybusinesscoach.com/podcast/118, as this is episode 118. Now, if you found this episode useful or any of the episodes that we've put out, I would love it so much if you might just take 2 seconds and leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts. It just helps, you know, other small business owners across the globe find this podcast and hopefully fall in love with their business again as well. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thanks for listening to the My Daily Business Coach podcast. If you want to get in touch, you can do that at mydailybusinesscoach.com. Or hit me up on Instagram at mydailybusinesscoach.